So we want to discuss, of course, Kameshwar Mahadev is presiding over Kamyavan and Vrindavan. And there's actually no lust in Lord Shiva. He's immensely powerful. Even though he sits around naked with his wife Parvati, sitting on his lap, Parvati or Shiva have no lusty desires. And by showing that posture in front of sages and rishis, they show the rishis and the whole world that we and only us can sit like this and not be aroused for sex desire. Even the greatest yogis and sages, they can control their mind and senses for 60,000 years. But they simply hear some ankle bells, they fall into sex activity. If any ordinary girl or boy, even demigod or rishi, if they're sitting together with no clothes, they will definitely become lusty. But they never fall down. They can live, although Parvati, they can live in any position or posture. Once Shiva was giving a lecture in an assembly of saints, and Parvati was sitting on his lap. This is in sixth canto, Chitraketa's story. Shiva and Parvati were both naked. And Chitraketa was a great devotee of Krishna. He, in a friendly way, he said, "Oh, my Lord Shiva, just see the sitting posture you're adopting while giving your lecture." So Parvati, she couldn't tolerate what he said, because she thought he was implying that some lust had come in her Lord's heart and it doesn't come near him, so she cursed him. But Chitraketu was a friend of Shiva. He was not really mentioning about lust, but he was just saying that this is not a very standard way to give a Bhagavatam class. A naked woman sitting on your lap. And then Shiva chastised Parvati. He said, "Why did you curse my friend Chitraketu? He's actually a great devotee. He's very advanced. Although he could counteract your curse and retaliate himself, he quietly and tolerantly accepted your curse. That shows his greatness. This is the behavior of Vaishnava." This is what Lord Shiva told. So lust cannot remain near Lord Sadashiva nor his Abhasar Shadow Shankara. When Kamadev came to disturb Shiva's meditation, Shiva opened his third eye and burned Kamadev to ashes. So then someone might say, well, if Shiva's free from lust, and what about 8th canto of Bhagavatam when he chased Mohini Murti, the form of Krishna, as a woman? So the point is that it was Krishna himself. Krishna personally created lusty desires in Shiva's heart. Then he showed in the form of Mohini. So this is simply Krishna's yoga maya doing this, that this whole lila went on to teach so many people about the power of illusion. And then, of course, there's always a debate. People, oftentimes worshippers of Shiva, they say, "Oh, see, the proof that Shiva is supreme, even above Ram, Purushottam, or let's say Maryada Purushottam Ram, is the fact that there's a famous linga in South India which was worshipped during Treta Yuga by Lord Ramachandra. He worshipped that linga of Shiva and prayed to be the power to cross the ocean and defeat Shiva's devotee and bhakta, or not about bhakta, but let's say worshipper, Ravana. So it appeared that Ram was taking inferior, servile position under Shiva. So the Shaivites and worshippers of Shiva, they cite this Leela of Ramachandra as solid evidence to prove that Shiva is supreme, and that's why Ram is appealing to him. So this Sadashiva, he always lives with the Mool Parvati. And Lord Ram established this Rameshwara Mahadev in South India and worshipped him. And Ram was thinking, by his mercy, I'll cross the Indian or that ocean there. Ram himself, being God, he had enough power to jump across the ocean in a second. But he acted like an ordinary person. And he considered, just like, and so he showed to the ordinary persons that by the mercy of Shankar, I may cross this endless ocean. So the common people, even today, they consider that Rameshwara Mahadev is the controller or the Lord of Ram. So his name was Rameshwara. But that time, you know, in Treta Yuga, actually the demigods came there and they said, no. Rameshwar Mahadev and Ram are both the same. There's no difference. Both are Ishwara. Ordinary people think only that Rameshwar is the Ishwara of Ram, but they're not intelligent. Lord Ram and Lord Shiva are both Ishwara. At that moment, Lord Shiva manifested from the Rameshwara Shiva Linga and said, no, try to understand. Rameshwara means he who is Lord is Ram. It is Ram who is the Lord of my heart. He is my controller. So I am known as Rameshwara. He was controlled by Ram. So that's the actual meaning. And so this is some vichars or considerations we can have concerning Lord Krishna and Shiva, this entry. Vichara means idea or perspective. Because what is the relationship between Krishna, who is Vishnu Tattva, and Shiva, who is Shiva Tattva? So we want to consider this Tattva. What is the consideration of philosophical understanding of relationship of Shiva and Krishna? So the Aishwarya understanding is that in the pastimes of opulence and majesty, and then there's the Madhurya Vichara. So you can consider Tattva. In other words, you can understand Krishna's relationship with his devotees on the basis of philosophy or Leela, the Aishwarya Mayi Leelas or the Madhurya Mayi Leelas. So this becomes three Vicharas, or three considerations or understanding of Krishna's relationship with Lord Shiva or Brahma or anyone. The Madhurya Vichara, the sweetness of his intimate leelas, and then a Brajant, and or the Aishwarya Vichara, consideration of the Aishwarya, or the Tattva Vichara, the consideration of the philosophical view or relationship of the Vishnu Tattva, Shiva Tattva, etc. So if we take the Aishwarya Bhav or Aishwarya Vichara, Sri Krishna is the supremely worshipable deity of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is always worshipping Krishna. If they take the Madhurya Bhav or Madhurya Vichara, which is Naravat Gata Vichara, Krishna plays another role. He's a very small young child. He cannot do anything. Yashoda Mayi is feeding him and doing everything. At that time, Lord Shiva Mahadev comes and gives benedictions to the child. Because Krishna is performing his human-like pastimes, Shiva becomes worshipful to this child. Lord Rama's worship of Lord Shiva in South India at Rameshwar, in order to cross the ocean, is also one of these Madhurya pastimes, Naravat Leela, or this human-like pastimes. At this time, Rama is thinking himself an ordinary being who has this most impossible and difficult task to cross over this vast ocean. So to receive some power from Shiva to do it, Lord Ramachandra is worshipping Shiva. Who is who? What is the position of Lord Shiva in relation to Krishna? This is the topic that we're trying to understand. Now we'll look at this point, the relationship between Krishna and Shiva, by examining a leela, the Aishwarya leela, a very a lila full of grandeur and majesty, and this is in Krishna book. This is Brikasura demon. So by this lila vichar, we'll understand more about the tattva by consideration of this pastime. But anyway, as you know, in the Krishna book, there was a demon named Brikasura. He really worshipped Shiva intensely with his own flesh, and then he got the mercy. But actually what he wanted to do is enjoy Shiva's wife Parvati, and that's why he performed all these austerities. And then as a result of that, his first thing he did was get a benediction to crack heads. So he's so ill-motivated, he worshipped Shiva. He wanted a benediction, but first, why he wanted that benediction? So he could kill Shiva and then enjoy his wife. So his actual desire was to enjoy Shiva's wife. But Shiva's Bolanath, or like an innocent child, so he pretended not to know that, although he did. And he gave him that power. So then, naturally, the first one he used it against was Shiva, because he was blocking his way to enjoying his wife, Parvati. So when he approached Lord Shiva to burn him up, then Shiva said, "What are you doing, man?" He said, and then Brikasura said, "I am now utilizing the benediction you gave me." At this time, this is what the Acharya is saying, commenting on the sixth canto of Brikasura's story. They say that, you know, this is what he said, that I'm just using the power you gave me. He did not say to Shiva that I want to enjoy Parvati, but he simply looked at her with that kind of look that all women know, that lusty, I want to enjoy you look, which has been around for a few million years. And then he looked at her and said, "Okay, you know, I really want to enjoy you." Then he ran towards Lord Shiva. She was afraid and he ran away and he chased him. And she was wearing a deer skin, a mrigachala. It's called mrigachala. He dropped his deer skin. He was running so fast. And he also dropped his dhamma drum. He kept remembering his Lord and running away. And who did he remember? He remembered Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Krishna appeared there to save his devotee Shiva, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, and Krishna came as a young brahmachari. And then when the demon saw him, or when Krishna saw the demon Brikasura running after Shiva, he said, "Oh, listen, who are you running after, by the way?"
"Well, I am running after Lord Shiva."
"Why?"
"Because he has given me the blessing. When I touch someone's head, it will burst to ashes. So I am going to apply it on him."
Then Krishna the Brahmachari replied, "Oh, you foolish person. You believe the boons and benedictions of a man who smokes ganja and takes intoxication and lives in Shamsan grounds? You think he's authorized and powerful enough to give benedictions? Oh, it's all futile. He's just fooling you. And you're running so much after him. And when you finally catch up with him, you'll see that you don't have any power. Listen, just to confirm what I'm saying, why don't you try it on yourself? Put your hand on your own head and just see. And nothing will take place." Brikasura thought. He thought, "Yes, why should I not try?" So then he touched his own head, and his head busted in half. So this is the Aishwarya Vichara of the Leela. So this Leela supports the conclusion of the tattva that Shankar is dependent on God, that he's not God, but he's dependent. He's not independent. His worshipable deity is Krishna.